Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Amy, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. We got somebody to host the show who is not a fat guy.
Yay!
We got the lovely and talented Amy from Night of the Living Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The better half of Night of the Living Podcast. We've already had Freddie on.
Yes.
We'll have the other half on later. Isn't there another half to your show?
There's 10,000 of us. So it's going to take you a while
halves.
To cycle through.
There's
six of us.
But we've got Amy on from Night of the Living Podcast. We'll introduce her and get a little more information if you missed Freddie's show a couple weeks ago. But before that, let's do our paperwork. How do you get a hold of us? You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies, and we'll pop right up. And you can then subscribe and do all that fun stuff. Listen to your mobile listening device. That didn't make any sense. Download it to your mobile listening device. You can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM, or you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. We've got one of those. We'll be playing in the third segment. And we also have a listener feedback question from Facebook, which I think was just meant for me, but heck, why not put it on the show? Because he's a longtime listener and somebody who's called in the past. Anyways, we also have an advertiser. You can check hover.com/fatguys for cheap URLs starting at $15 a year, automatically 10% off if you go to hover.com/fatguys, or if you just go to hover.com and use the coupon code FATGUYS, one word, you'll get the same 10% off. So that's that. Amy, tell us about yourself, who you are, what you do, and what turned you on?
Well, I'm lovely, as you said earlier.
There you go.
I'm that. I'm talented. And I host a show with some friends called Night of Living Podcast, and we talk about horror movies and generally what's on our minds.
Yes.
So, you know, we dig horror movies, but, you know, there are other facets to me. I just love all movies and TV and books and all pop culture, so.
You're huge into television. We were talking about that off the air. You're into stuff that's not necessarily falls into the horror genre of television.
It probably horrifies the people that know me because I do a horror podcast. But yes, I happen to love Pretty Little Liars, and I'm not afraid to say it.
You watch The Gossip Girl and all that? The Gossip Girl.
Wow.
You watch The Gossip Girl on the cable?
Hey there, old man. But no, you know what? I will. I have to say no. I don't watch The Gossip Girl. At least I haven't in a couple of years. But anyway,
a couple of years. Now I may have at one time when I was young and stupid. But
maybe.
Do you watch the horror related stuff? Do you watch stuff like Teen Wolf and The Vampire Diaries and Supernatural and all that good stuff?
Well, yeah, I watch The Vampire Diaries. I mean, anything on the CW. Come on, but
anything not Gossip Girl. Apparently,
you're right.
Just tripped you up right there, liar.
I am the worst kind of liar. I'm so sorry. That was Gossip. Gotcha journalism right there, and I don't appreciate it. Don't appreciate it. But I love Supernatural. I think that's a great show, and The Vampire Diaries is a lot of fun. And it's good stuff.
Okay, good. What's your favorite show? Did you watch Dexter? You Dexter
yes,
fan?
Yes, I have watched. I just got caught up on Dexter, so I'm ready to go for season 6. I'm excited.
Yes, Dexter. That's when Dexter gets a dog. No, I don't know.
Is it? Wow.
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
Spoilers!
All right. Yes. What's your favorite show on television right now?
Oh my gosh. Well, right now, at this very moment in time, it's summer, so You Think You Can Dance. Dun, dun, dun. It's the best show. I'm sorry.
The best show ever.
It is.
What's your favorite show that is currently not canceled on television?
That is good. Well, gosh, there were so many that were just canceled. This is really hard to do, but you know what? One of my favorites right now is Parks and Rec.
Okay.
That was something that I didn't really like at first and just kind of found again this last season, and it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty much like The Office, only in a government office. It could be called The Government Office, right?
You know what they should have? But you know what? It's just like The Office, except funny. The Office has not been lately.
Oh, them harsh words there, Amy.
Well, I think any Office fan could search their heart and know that I'm right now.
I don't know if that's true.
Uh-oh.
Not sure.
I didn't mean to cause controversy on my first appearance on your show. Oh, my God.
That's okay.
So sorry.
That's okay. We will forgive you this time. Speaking of controversy, let's move on to the on the movies we're going to review, which you haven't had a chance to see, but I'm sure you can throw out at least a couple cents.
I'm happy to judge without seeing. Absolutely.
We do that all the time. Yes. That's the American way. Yes. This one is Bad Teacher, in which Carmen, not her, that's a totally different person. Carmen Sandiego plays, Cameron Diaz plays a bad teacher, and Jason Segel screams at a kid about LeBron, and hopefully he doesn't show his junk.
Are you excited for tomorrow?
Is tomorrow Saturday?
No, it's the first day of school.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go to that.
But it's mandatory.
Ooh.
If I got a new pair of boobs, he'd be all over me.
But
they're really expensive, you know?
Yeah, and you gotta get two of them. Who knows? Maybe you'll win the bonus.
What bonus?
For the state test. Whichever teacher has the highest scoring class gets a bonus.
Things are about to change around here.
All right. What are your thoughts on the trailer? Before I throw down my brilliant and awesomely ubiquitous opinion, what are your thoughts?
Until you lay down that genius. My thoughts, you know, I've seen the trailer. It looked terrible. I don't know why I had such a visceral hatred for it. I think it's Cameron Diaz. It's probably.
She's, you know what's the thing? She's a beautiful woman. I mean, if she walked up to me on the street and said, hey, baby, and like, stripped down to like jean shorts and a tie-off shirt and start spraying water on herself.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this is awesome. Where do I put my $5? but on movies, I'll tell you, and I noticed this with Night and Day last year.
Yeah.
Her face is not living up to that 20-foot tall screen.
Yeah. Is there something real stretched out I don't like about it?
Yeah.
It's
looks like
good.
She's like packing cotton balls in her cheeks. Somehow, you know, it's like she takes her face off and like stuffs it just so it works. And she's still got beautiful eyes, but just everything around it, it looks really, she kind of looks like one of those Apple dolls that they had in the 80s.
What? A little bit. I'm going to have to Google that and scream in
horror. I don't even know if that's what they're called.
Yeah.
You're gonna Google Apple dolls. You're gonna, these are disgusting.
I don't want to know what I'll find.
That's totally not what I was talking about, but they're awesome. I'm going to order one right now. Yeah, no, you're right. The trailers were terrible.
Yeah.
The trailers were terrible. And especially the LeBron thing where he's yelling about LeBron James versus Michael Jordan. I'm like, there's nothing really funny about that. Just that they're yelling at each other.
I guess, you know, he's yelling that at a kid, right? I mean,
yeah,
is that it? Woohoo.
I guess that's the joke. But when I saw it, and we're in Ohio where I saw it, mm-hmm. So you can almost say anything about LeBron James and you'll get some response from people in Ohio because they're so bitter about the whole Cleveland Cavaliers thing. But outside of that context, it's not even a joke. And they threw it, and I'm like, that's what they chose to put in the trailer. And I said before I saw it, it's going to be one of two things. It's either going to be that there's no funny thing, that's the funniest thing they could find in the movie, or it's going to be like the Superbad trailer where they couldn't put anything funny from the movie in the trailer because it was all raunchy.
That's true. And we all know Superbad was great.
Superbad was awesome. And that, because when I saw Superbad, I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible because the trailer looks awful. But then I saw the movie and I'm like, I know now why the trailer was awesome and awful and the movie's hilarious because the best parts you just couldn't put in the trailer.
Yeah.
But this one, there are funny parts in the trailer, but again, it is the best lines, a lot of the best lines that aren't too raunchy for the you know, like broadcast. They throw those in the trailer. And they're funny, but then when you see the movie, like, anytime, you're like, oh, I know that line's coming.
Oh,
like, there's a scene where he calls this kid who's got spiky hair. He says, hey, Twilight. That's a funny line if you don't know it's coming.
Yeah, and you haven't already seen it 800 times.
Yeah, and it's just, well, here's the thing.
Yes.
This is the movie that I don't think it knew what it was trying to do. Mm-hmm. I think it started out as an independent film idea that got completely distorted and changed and perverted in the development process, and it kind of just pooped itself out. On those thoughts, I'm going to have a little bit more to say, but we got to go to a break. But we got to head on out right now. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're just talking about Bad Teacher, which is funny. You know, when I printed out my pass, I have to preface this. I have a degree in education. I actually went to school to become a teacher. I don't, but I have that credential in my personal history. And so when I printed out my pass, it said Bad Teacher Kevin Carr. And I was like, gosh, I kind of want to take. Yeah, I kind of want to take offense to that. I mean, what do they know about me?
You don't know me.
Yeah, I felt like walking up to the people at Columbia and just leaving my head back and forth, snapping my fingers.
Well, Z formation, do it.
Rip their bad weave off their head and yell at them.
Snatch it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So anyways, the first 90% of Bad Teacher is like, I mean, it's not that good. It has some very funny moments, usually because of somebody other than Cameron Diaz, because she's really not that funny in it. And it's sort of very Bad Santa-ish, where they're like, it's like they said, let's take Bad Santa and just apply it to this movie, where it's they're going to be a, she's going to be a teacher instead of a Santa. So she's doing this all this bad stuff, but it's all very kind of random. And when you really think about it, you're like, it's just so she can get a breast augmentation.
That's awful. See, that's awful.
It makes, it's not a good, it's just, it's a really weak premise and they never get past it.
Do they ever give her a heart or a soul at all? I mean, you know, that might be a spoiler alert, but.
Well, but here's the thing: the last 10 minutes, it goes Hollywood, and I love Hollywood. I love big Hollywood movies, and I like happy endings. But in a movie like this, the whole point is she's such a horrible person. You don't want to see her grow, and you're like you just want. It's like in Bad Santa, at least it made sense where the characters went. In this one, it's like they got to the very last part, not even the last act, but the last part of the last act, and the executives came in and said, no, she's got to learn something. She's got to grow as a person. He's like, we filmed the whole movie already. Well, no, you got to do this. And they just kind of crammed it in, and it's just the dumbest ending. It's going to sound gross, but this is how my response to it was. The credits started rolling. I kind of had this look on my face, and then I realized I had a look on my face. It's the kind of look you have when you're like in like an enclosed area and somebody breaks wind. You have sort of that Billy Idol sneer.
You got that kind of somebody, ooh, that's no good.
Yeah. So I'm going to give this on the fat guy's scale of rocks or sucks, kind of rocks, kind of sucks. I'm giving it a kind of sucks. There are some funny moments. Actually, Phyllis Smith from The Office. The show that you resoundly hate.
You don't hate. I used to love and now I'm disappointed in.
Oh, okay. But she's great. She's very funny. She actually is the source of a lot of funny material. And like Justin Timberlake, who's normally a great actor, actually, he's a great actor and a great comedic actor,
I agree.
Comes off completely flat.
Oh, no.
And it's sad because I'm like, I see what you're trying to do, but you're just not doing it right. And I'm wondering if it's the directing, because he was even in like The Love Guru, Justin Timberlake was hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that because it looked terrible.
You're a better person for it.
I'm a judge a movie by its cover, you know. See a trailer and doesn't look good. Although Jason Segel, I mean, how was he? Because he's one of my favorite actors. I enjoy him a lot.
No. This is not, I guess this is a little bit of a spoiler, but he does not show his junk.
Ah.
I know.
Sad face. See that?
Smacking around, you got to go rent. Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He's okay, but he kind of just comes in and out of the movie. It's again, they don't know what to do with his character. I mean, is he supposed to be this love interest? Is he supposed to be a decent teacher? Because he's not. And I don't know what they're trying to do. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I mean, if you're gonna see one Jason Segel movie this year, go see The Muppets later.
Ah, yes, that's exciting.
So, yeah, it kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's disappointing.
We're going to do the next movie now, which is Cars 2, which Lightning McQueen enters in the World Grand Prix, taking Mater along with him to have him get caught up in a international spy thriller.
Ooh.
I'm looking for a car.
Look out, ladies. Mater's fitting to get funky.
How'd you like to come and see the world with me?
You mean it?
The World Grand Prix. Three races, two continents, but only one winner.
Ka-chow!
There's an American liaison under deep cover.
No mo arigato!
These Americans are clearly master spies.
Oh, you've got to be joking.
Now, before we start actually talking about Cars 2, since I know you are such a huge Disney fan.
I love it.
Because you and Freddie are.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the first Cars and sort of how it fits within the Pixar universe?
I'd say it's
the Pixarverse.
Yeah, so the Pixarverse, as it will. I'd say it's my least favorite Pixar movie, but that still leaps and bounds over most any movie, right?
Yeah.
So it's
that's like saying that's like the worst movie Alfred Hitchcock made.
Exactly. It's the worst of a great thing. So it's still pretty good, but I didn't feel as emotionally invested in that movie as I normally am in a Pixar movie. So.
Okay. Are you looking forward to Cars 2?
I am. You know, our local drive-in is going to be playing it, so that should be a lot of fun, I think. And, okay. You know, it's,
I just went to the drive-in the other night, actually. Took the kids. They loved it.
There was a night in Ohio where it wasn't storming and raining? What?
It was it was threatening to on Father's Day. And I just said, let's just go to the drive-in. So we saw Super 8 and Kung Fu Panda 2.
Super 8 would be great at the drive-in.
Well, you know the problem with it? It's just very dark. And dark movies are not good at the drive-in, necessarily.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think Cars 2 will be a lot of fun there because you can look around and see cars.
And there'll be cars. That's stupid. And don't they, at the end of Cars, the first one, they are at a drive-in watching all the Pixar movies?
Gosh, I think they were, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this
because that was the John Ratzenberger joke because he's like, oh, I think that guy's pretty good in that movie.
I think, you know, I don't remember exactly because it's one movie I don't think I've rewatched out of all the Pixar movies. Well, that and The Incredibles, I think, weren't my favorites. So
The Incredibles is so awesome.
I fell asleep for like 10 minutes.
Oh, blasphemy.
I know. I call myself a Disney fan, but yeah. I can kick butt at Toy Story Midway Mania in Disney World, though. I'll have you know. And that's Pixar, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat. I know a lot of, especially critics, are basically of the thing of the thought that Cars was the least of the Pixar movies.
Yeah.
What's funny though is there are some people who I found this. It's either you think it's the least of the Pixar movies or it's your favorite.
Really?
Like my wife, it's actually her favorite Pixar.
Oh, really?
Cars, yeah. And one of it is we have three boys.
Oh.
And Cars is such a boy-oriented thing because it's Cars. I mean, it just happens to be, sexism aside, boys really identify with cars. And
it's the truth.
Making these cartoon cars has been very popular for boy merchandise. And another one of the big complaints people are saying is, oh, Cars 2 is such a big, you know, it's just a big excuse to sell toys. And I'm like, really? I wish we can go back to the time when Disney wasn't interested in marketing or merchandising, which never existed.
Yeah,
because
when was that time?
It's always happened. Yeah. The Mickey Mouse watch is like, what, 60 years old or something like that?
Yeah. They were never not interested in making money off of you. That's why Disney World exists in Disneyland. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't buy that as an argument because if you went to the toy store last year, it was nothing but Toy Story. Just nothing but Toy Story. And the other thing is, and this, actually my wife had made a really good observation about Cars, the franchise, is that if you go to any toy store, there's going to be your boys section and your girls section. You go in the girls section, at least half of it is Disney Princess.
Absolutely.
They're still milking Snow White, which was the first one. And they're milking Cinderella, and they've done sequels to these things and direct-to-video stuff, and it's just nonstop Disney Princess. There's really no anchor to put boy stuff on. And so the boys kind of, they'll get Woody and, you know, Buzz Lightyear or whatever, and some other elements to Disney movies, but the Cars stuff works. And so that's, I think, why it has that appearance of being heavily marketed, but I don't think it's merchandised any more than anything else that Disney does.
I think people are just shocked to see it in a different department, you know?
Yeah.
Next to the Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, they always merchandise stuff, so I don't think that's trust me, Cars is not an excuse to just sell toys.
Is it an excuse, though, for Larry the Cable Guy?
Well, here's my question for you. Are you okay with Larry the Cable Guy in the first movie?
You know what? I think I probably, you know, went into the movie going, oh, God, Larry the Cable Guy. But, you know, I thought he was actually really good in the movie.
Yeah. And I mean, he does play a redneck car.
Yeah, I mean, he's perfect for that role.
I mean, it's not like you're going to, like, pull up and say, oh, we need to have, you know, we need to have Mandy Pantaken play the redneck.
Why don't we
get Larry the Cable Guy, who's just pretty much like that?
Exactly. You don't have to do much work on the character.
Yeah, so I don't have a problem with Larry the Cable Guy. I think he's appropriately used, and the writing was funny in the first one. Now, the second one, it's a very different type of movie. Whereas the first one was Lightning McQueen's journey, and it's Lightning McQueen learning about himself, and it's basically the Doc Hollywood story. You know, we've seen that before.
Sure.
This one is much more Larry or Mater's story. He needs to go to... he needs to learn about himself and sort of find out, you know, how he relates to other people, but it's also his journey into this weird little spy thing. And on the whole, I liked it. I'm going to throw out I'm going to say that I give it a rocks because I had a blast. But when we get back from the break, I'm going to talk a little bit more about it.
Okay.
42 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in the middle segment where Amy can finally take the shackles off of her face and swear.
Shit.
Yay for
that
shit.
That felt good.
But we're gonna. I'm gonna quickly finish up my thoughts on Cars 2.
Yes.
It's when Bolt came out. That first 10 minutes of Bolt, I thought was freaking amazing.
That was really good. Yeah.
You know, and I remember saying to people, "I'm like, Bolt was a sweet little movie. It was a cute movie. I didn't have a problem with Bolt. I'm like, that first sequence. It was just so hard. Everything was a downer from that first sequence. I'm like, they made a movie that was just nonstop. This first sequence of a dog fighting computerized bikers and stuff like that. I would love it. And that's part of the reason why I like G-Force, because it kind of existed in that same little crazy-ass universe.
Yeah.
But Cars 2 is very much the same way, where it starts as a spy thriller. It's got Michael Caine as, and I think he's an Aston Martin. I mean, it's going for the totally that British MI6 spy thing. And it carries it through the whole thing. It's not this journey of discovery and sweetness. It's a lot of it's just sort of this really kick-ass action flick with cars.
That's
and
kind of awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely explosive. It doesn't have the heart that all the other Pixar movies tend to have, but they're continuing character. And I'm okay with that because I hate when they then have to sort of have this rift between characters that have to learn something and it feels very artificial. This one's just, you know, it's Larry the Cable Guy becoming a spy for crying out loud as a tow truck. And it's cool as hell. And I thought that was a lot of fun. And the 3D is really cool. Most animated 3D looks good.
Yeah, that's a medium that lends itself well to that. And it doesn't hurt your eyeballs.
No, and they really take advantage of the 3D with this movie. It looks amazing and it looks fantastic. I mean, animation wise, and it's a lot of fun. If you saw there was a short film, this may have gone on the Cars DVD, or maybe it was a more recent Pixar release where Mater goes to Tokyo and does street racing.
Yeah.
It's like that. That's what a good chunk of the movie's like. And it's sort of like then it goes into like the Iron Man, because in Iron Man they're using kind of this Iron Man 2. They use the same kind of racetrack in Italy or something like that, and this is the same place. So I mean, I had a lot of fun. And if you're going in and you want to hate it, you want to hate on Larry the Cable Guy, and you want to bitch about merchandising, yeah, you're gonna have all that to talk about. But it was fun, and kids freaking loved it.
Would you say? No, I was just mentioning I wanted to go see it at the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say it's worth it with the 3D? That's
Here's
always
the
question.
I love the drive-in for just it being a fun experience.
Yeah.
But for the movie, for the quote-unquote big screen movie, I don't like seeing that at the drive-in unless I'm seeing it a second time. Like, I just saw Kung Fu Panda there, and it's way better digitally projected. So you don't get that at the drive-in. But if that's your choice of how to see a movie, it's still going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But, here's the thing. If you really want to get the full effect, go see the 3D. But if you want to save some money, don't.
Okay, yeah, that's always my question. I don't ever want to lose something that the filmmaker intended me to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think so in general, like movies like these movies, the animated movies, I think, like I said, lend themselves the best to it. And you're going to get the best experience out of it. Kung Fu Panda was beautiful in 3D.
Yeah.
But it's the live action stuff that are touch and go. Like, as much as I liked Green Lantern, but I don't think you needed to see that in 3D.
Yeah. Okay. This is good to know. My wallet needs to know these things.
Yeah. Whereas like Transformers next week, I have a feeling that's going to look great in 3D. It's going to be
probably look great and be do you think it'll be terrible?
I don't know. See, I was on the fence on this because I was like, well, it depends on the running time. And then I don't know if you knew this, but they published like 8 running times, everything from 94 minutes to 202 hours and 35 minutes.
Oh, good
Turns
God.
Out it's two. It's like 2.5 hours long.
That's too long.
It's too long, and that bothers me because that's the problem with part of my problem with the second was it just went on too long.
And it was terrible.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, it was also it made no sense.
It was stupid. Like, man, the first one We saw the drive-in, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And I was like, Transformers, really? I do not want to see this. And then I swear to God, by the end of the movie, I wanted to join the army and find some robots to befriend.
That's right. Kill those fucking robots.
Get those fucking robots. But like, then the second one made me want to just stick pens in my eyes. And I'm worried about the third one. But I thought the trailer was super awesome that we saw in front of Super 8 the other week.
And well, I got to see the trailer in 3D in front of Green Lantern. And I have to say, it looks like some of the best live action 3D I've seen since Avatar.
Well, damn it. Now I'm going to have to see it.
But then again, it's going to be 3 hours long, or 2.5 hours long. So it's just a hair shy of how long Avatar is. I don't know. I'm hoping that there's a little more restraint. I'm hoping we don't have pot brownie jokes with, because here's the thing, you know, I know it's PG-13, but you cannot, it's about toys and it's marketed totally to kids. I think it's inappropriate to have pot brownie jokes.
It was a freaking cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, you know, of course, the people who know the cartoon are 30 years old, but still.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to watch that shit.
Yeah. It's I mean, fine. Have pot jokes in movies. Just don't do them in kids movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't care how you cut it. Transformers is a kids movie. It can get a PG-13 rating all you want, but it's a kids movie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Green Lantern is a kids movie for that.
Is it really? I don't know. But was that good?
I liked it. But again, here's, my take on Green Lantern is it was... there's a lot of mythology to get through to even know what the hell's going on in the Green Lantern universe. And they did okay. I thought it was the best Green Lantern film we're going to get. And I like the fact that they had it a little more lighthearted because everyone's trying to be the Dark Knight and it doesn't work for everything.
Yeah. So. I just don't know jack about shit about the Green Lantern. So it all looks really stupid.
Well, did you see Thor?
No. You know, I mean, I don't know what my problem is, but I just haven't made the time.
Thor and Green Lantern had the same, to me, were very much the same in the sense that they were secondary characters that you really had to go through a lot of explanations, and they kind of had the same beats where they're like stuff taking place on another planet and stuff taking place on Earth, and they're fighting a giant creature.
Yeah, I prefer radioactive superheroes.
Well, Spider-Man's not even radioactive anymore. I know.
I don't know what I prefer anymore then.
I'm just confusing you at this point.
Now I'm scared, and I don't know what to do.
But speaking of Green Lantern, let's talk about the box office.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on the box office? Green Lantern won, but everyone's saying, oh, it bombed with $50-some million.
Isn't that, that's ridiculous. Like I feel like every week what I hear is, oh, that should have done better. And I'm like, well, you know what? Fucking recession, okay? People don't have, it's cost me $15.50 to see Super 8. The other week.
Personally? What'd you do? Yes. Go see it in IMAX?
Yeah. Oh. But that weeds out the a-holes from talking. So.
That's true. Well, see, that's the other reason why I like 3D. In general, when people have those glasses on, they talk less and they text less.
Yeah, Freddie said we were going to get IMAX because Kevin said that is the way to do it.
It works.
And it did. I want to thank you for that because the last two times I went to the theater before that, I mean, I wanted to murder and kill.
Yeah. Oh, I yell at people for texting.
Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for the Alamo Draft. And if people just told them to stop doing it, if people just got their balls out of their pants and said, and stick them in their face and say, I'm going to stick my balls in your face.
Do you see your
balls? Texting. What? You may have to get an extra pair.
I might have to, like, sew some of my own or get some truck nuts.
You say, or Transformers, giant metal balls. Say, come here, Freddy, and just grab his balls. He's like, whoa, hold on.
And I just pull him over. I'm like, do you see these balls?
These balls are not texting anything. So,
and punch him in the face.
Yes. I think it's silly because Hollywood's always looking for that $100 million weekend.
Yeah.
I think 3D... prices, I've said this a million times, I'm not going to go over this too much, but I think 3D prices are hurting even the big movies now because it costs so much, and especially if it's a kid's movie, no one wants to spend $15 per person to go see it when they can spend $10 per person in another theater. So I don't think people are rejecting the 3D, and I think that's what happened to Green Lantern. Green Lantern's doing okay. I think it's going to kill overseas, even though the very, very early... estimates are it's opening soft, but you know they did the same thing with Kung Fu Panda, and now that thing's like at 400-some million worldwide.
I mean, they're going to make their money back and then some.
Easy, yeah. Right? I think all these films, because the other thing is they're expanding 3D into what's happening overseas is what happened last year with 3D in America is it's getting into more theaters and suddenly people are going after it, and you know, every single big movie from this summer has done better overseas than in the U.S., which is usually it tends to be about half and half, except Hangover's right around half and half. So, but yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah.
Mr. Popper's Penguins, nice to see that thing come in soft.
That's what she said, man.
Yeah, baby. Well, she wants to see it come out soft.
No, wait, that's what she did not want to say. Mr. Popper's Penguins. I mean, Jim Carrey, come on.
It's just,
but you know, I'm not a parent. I'm not a kid, so I guess I just don't get it. But I see that stuff, and I'm like, really? Although that Judy Moody looked good.
You know what? Judy Moody's not a bad movie. I saw it. I took my kids.
I might have to, yeah.
It's very iCarly-ish. It's for that crowd, maybe a little bit younger, somewhat Diary of a Wimpy Kid, where it's just this goofy shit happening with kids.
Yeah.
And you know what? Here's what's funny is this has to be a record. When Super 8 and Judy Moody came out as the two major releases that weekend, I think it's the only time that I can remember that two movies featured a scene with a kid vomiting prominently on screen at some point.
That is progress.
You know, hey, we have to. Beautiful. We need more of these.
We march to a beautiful tomorrow.
I'm waiting for award season when they try and sweep that. They're going to be
a montage.
Yeah, and they'll be like, "Oh, here's a montage to all the vomiting children."
It was the year of vomiting children.
That's awesome.
That was my Gwyneth Paltrow. It's terrible.
That's okay. She's terrible.
She is.
Oh, yes. Death to her career.
Yeah, right?
After Country Strong, not a whole lot I can do more to do death to her career because she is awful.
She really is.
I don't even... Do you watch Glee? I'm assuming you're a Glee fan. Are you Glee?
I do watch Glee.
Do you like her in Glee?
She's less awful, but she's still terrible.
I would take Kristen Chenoweth in Glee or out of Glee anytime over Glee.
Would you know?
And her overbite, which can open a pop can.
Oh, shit. Well, she's like 4'11", so it's a little creepy.
No. Kristen Chenoweth doesn't. Gwyneth Paltrow has that bird-like overbite.
Oh, we're talking about her self. Yeah.
She looks like a Pez dispenser.
She's just one of those people that has had everything in her whole life ever handed to her.
Yeah.
So then, therefore, she thinks she's unlocked some secret to life. And it's like, no. You've pretty much been rich forever.
She has some blog where she talks about like colon cleansing and stuff like that.
Goop. That's what it's called. Goop.
That's right. It's Goop, and it's about poop.
Well, she's poop.
She is poop.
That was clever when I just said.
And you know what? It's absolutely accurate.
Exactly. That's so smart.
What do you think is going to win this weekend? Do you think it's going to be Cars? Do you think Cars 2 is going to run away with the box office?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean, it's a Pixar release, and it's summer, and all the kids are out, and parents don't want to have to entertain their kids, right? So you just take them to a movie.
Or to the pool,
let them drown. Whatever.
Whatever. It's cool. We're fine with that. Or you can take them to the store and buy some Cars merchandise.
Get some merchandise, yeah.
I think it's going to do well. I'm not sure how well it's going to do because if you look at, again, that 3D pricing is hurting films. And Kung Fu Panda was a lot softer than you would have thought. But then again, this is Cars. This is Disney. It's Pixar. And you got to also remember that when I saw this screening, most of the kids in that screening weren't even alive when the first one came out.
When did the first one come out?
2006.
Oh my God.
I mean, they're 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. They were just, you know, just a glisten in their father's eye and his daddy's little squirt before that happened. Yes.
That's gross. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's funny.
I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm going to say conservatively 70 million for Cars.
Do you remember what Toy Story 3 did when it came out?
Oh, it was like 100 and some million. That was the $100 million movie.
So you like cut that in like half, right? Because it has half the love.
Yeah.
This is solid math right here.
Yeah, that's right. Half the love equals. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. I don't know if, I don't think the bad reviews are going to bother anybody from seeing. I don't think there's anybody who's going to be like, oh, Lou Luminick from the New York Post said no. I mean, no one's going to not see Cars 2 because it got bad reviews. I'm just wondering, a recession and money, and there's so much other things going on and so much other options in the box office with Kung Fu Panda 2, Judy Moody to a very, very minor degree, Popper's Penguins, and even Green Lantern to an effect. You know, you got a lot of competition out there, as opposed to if Cars 2 came out like the first weekend, it would have just like crushed the box office.
Good point. Yeah, you know, that is a lot of kids' stuff to be in theaters right now.
Yeah.
Kind of amazing.
And Bridesmaids.
And that's such a kids movie.
Kids are like pooping in the street. Love it.
I know you said you didn't like it, but man, I love that.
You just love that. I found that women like it. Just, we know what's funny is when I saw Bridesmaid, there's this group of people. Like, they look like there was like a, you know, couple in their 30s, and it looks like they had a couple. They looked like they took one of their parents as a couple. And the this old woman, she must have been like 60 or so. She's like, oh, well, that wasn't too bad. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? That movie had everything in it. It was coming out of women instead of men.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be one of those women that I think some women are just like the movie because they're like, yeah, see, we can shit in the street too. But it's, you know, at the same time, it's kind of refreshing to see Maya Rudolph shitting in a street.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to see Maya Rudolph shitting in a street?
I want to meet that person and get them a psychiatrist.
And put them in the street and have Maya Rudolph shit on them.
They should. Exactly. That would be great. The woman that was in my screening of Bridesmaids, I would like somebody to shit on her, because I swear to fucking God, this bitch the whole goddamn time kept turning to her daughter or granddaughter, I don't know, and was like, oh my God.
Granddaughter, great-granddaughter, her niece.
Somebody, some relative of her, because nobody else would hang out with her. And she's like, do you see her car? That's such a junky car. I'm like, bitch, shut up. Anyway, it was terrible. Oh, it made me so angry. That was the one of the worst. Anyway.
We had a little bit of that at Bad Teacher. I brought a friend of mine, and there was somebody who was stomping on the floor when they were laughing. At the, not funny parts, but they were still stomping. Like, I thought that it was like a wildebeest were running past the theater.
Stomping
like,
through.
Is Lion King playing next door? I don't
know. Sorry, I just watched Lion King.
What do you think a Bad Teacher is going to do? Do you think it's going to do well at all?
Gosh, no. I don't think... I just think the trailers were terrible, and yeah. I can't imagine anybody's going to go, I must pay premium prices to see that in a theater. I would hope.
Yeah, I'm thinking $100 million, $20 million or less.
Yeah, I'm going to go with less, right? Yeah. I mean, and plus, I don't know if Cameron Diaz is that hot anymore. It's been a long time.
I really don't think so. I mean, Night and Day opened at like 25 or something like that. It was not a huge opener.
No. And then had Tom Cruise in it, who I don't know if he still even has pull either, so.
No. I don't think so. Maybe just with his wife. His crazy wife he has chained in the basement. And has a clone coming out to talk and make media appearances.
That's terrifying, that whole existence.
It's so true.
You right, man?
I'm good.
All right. Yeah, don't die on me, man.
I was thinking of Tom Cruise. Here's one thing. You mentioned Jason Segel. Yes. Did you watch Cougar Town?
I love Cougar Town. I love
Cougar Town. Is one of the best shows on television.
It really is.
But Busy Phillips.
Yeah.
If Busy Phillips and Jason Segel had kids, those would be just these. They would be nothing but this tiny tuft of hair and nothing but moles all over them.
They would keep a dermatologist in full time business.
I know they would. They would look like a kid that got like stung.
They are very moly.
I know. I said this once. I said, Busy Phillips looks like somebody was eating chocolate pudding and sneezed.
Oh.
But she's a beautiful woman. I like Busy Phillips. She's very funny.
She's great. They were both on Freaks and Geeks, but I don't know what their characters' relations were to one another because I've never seen it.
I've never watched it. I hear a lot of good things about it, though.
Yeah.
But you can follow Laurie from Cougar Town by following the Larmy.
I do.
Do you follow the Larmy?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cougar Town is such an underappreciated thing. And it, you know, I just, you tell people, oh, have you seen Cougar Town? They look at you like you just asked them to smack their mothers in the face.
And then do you? I'd be like, do you want to see this? Smack.
I should. I'd be like, I don't like your attitude about this. So I'm going to go smack your mom in the face.
That's right.
Anyway.
That's good. Sorry, that we're keeping, I get angry. Keeping up with the Larmy there.
Absolutely. Everybody should do it. The Larmy on Twitter.
All right. We got a couple listener feedbacks that we want to talk about. First one is a listener question from Facebook. This comes from the notorious Steve Gabe from Arizona. This is a guy. He claims his name's Steve, but I think his name's Gabe. Mm. At least that's what it sounded like he said. I don't know. Yeah, he's confused. But this is one I think it was meant for me, but I figured we'll like answer it on the show since Steve / Gabe has written many times or called in a couple times. I'm just going to read it. He goes, I might have missed this somewhere, and this is slightly old news by now, but what's your take on the Tracy Morgan misfire? I believe you and I share the same disdain for the man, this so-called comedy. I'm concerned about the homosexual slant, but I'm more disturbed by the beginning part. I would slash my child's throat if he were, insert derogatory comment here. I don't care. I could care less if it's gay, Jewish, black, etc. No joke should start that way, in my opinion. What's our take? What's your take first? Because I hate Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, you know, I don't hate him. I always liked him on Saturday Night Live, 30 Rock. I think he's really good. His actual comedy, his stand-up, I've never been a fan of. Mm-hmm. When I read about this, you know, it bothers me as a person who's, you know, it's very important to me that everybody be treated equally in this country. And I don't mean to get, you know, my soapbox, but it's really important that, you know, we respect everybody. And to say that you would kill your child if it was gay, to me, is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But at the same time, I mean, you know, it's awful and I would want to condemn it. But he gets to say it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I mean, he's allowed to say it, but I think people can be like, dude, you're an asshole. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, that's the response.
That's all. Yeah, I think that's the correct response.
Yeah. Here's the thing. When I found out that Tracy Morgan basically revealed his inner assholeness, my thought was, it's about time. Because I am so tired of Tracy Morgan. I don't find him funny. I've never found him funny. I remember when he was on Saturday Night Live before he became popular on Saturday Night Live. I didn't find him funny then.
He was kind of like the weird fat guy.
He was chubby there for a while. So for him to come out, and then he comes out and he goes on this tear, and yes, I know it was in a comedy situation, and you can say, well, I'm playing a character. You know, Don Rickles was not always, he's still alive, apparently. Rickles in his personal life isn't as acerbic as he is on stage, and I get that, but it also, I don't think there's a recording of it out there, but it sounds like Tracy Morgan was working through a bit and just did it to the wrong audience, and then people are like, what the hell? and his response was like, oh, no, it was just comedy, it was a joke, and it reminds me of, like, I have children, and the children, they'll do something wrong, and they'll be like, oh, no, that was a joke. And you're like, no, it wasn't. That's your backpedaling. That's your stance. I mean, his response, his spin control was basically the attitude of a four-year-old that got caught doing something he knew he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, his little shame tour across the country to, like, talk to homeless gay teens is...
Oh, is that what he's doing now? I didn't know about this.
Yeah. And
is he killing them in the process?
He's stabbing them in the head. It's weird, but I mean, it's so shallow to me that this is all of a sudden what you're doing.
Yeah.
It doesn't come off as sincere at all. And I would struggle as to why, like, GLAAD would want to do this weird, insincere tour of contrition, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I think his career's over. I mean, this is the equivalent of Mel Gibson's Jewish rant.
Oh, yeah. Sugar tits.
Yeah. It's just people are like, well, wait, if that's the way you're going to be. And again, he's got every right to say it. You have every right to say whatever the hell you want, as long as it's not, like, specifically endangering somebody. But people have made a point. They said, he's come out and he's saying, I'm going to kill my child if I find out he's, you know, whatever. But I mean, I think Steve Gabe hit it right on the head by saying, it doesn't matter what the ending of that comment was.
You just threatened to kill your child.
Yeah, you said, I'm going to kill... What if he said, I'd kill my child if he was gay? I'd kill my child if he married a black girl? I'd kill my child if he did whatever? You know, that's, of course, I would imagine... I don't know if Tracy Morgan would be upset if his child married a black girl or not, but...
No, I imagine that would probably be okay.
But what... I mean, it could be anything, seriously. Yeah. So yeah, I think, bottom line, Tracy Morgan's a douchebag. I think he's always been a douchebag. I've heard stories, which I'm not going to repeat because they're so anecdotal, but I've never seen anything that you'd be like, oh, no, he's actually a nice guy. No, everything I've heard about him, he's an ass, and he's not funny, and I hope this is the end of his career.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say it, but I think I agree with you, and it's a shame because I think Tina Fey is one of my favorite people on this planet, I think, and you'd think somebody who is so smart and just understands everything. I don't know what I mean by that. Wow. That
you're really attributing a lot to Tina Fey at this point.
She understands me. She sees right into my soul.
Wow.
And, you know, I just would trust her to hire somebody who wasn't, you know, terrible, but it kind of makes me think, well, she's just looking to make a buck too.
Yeah.
You know, it tarnishes her, in my opinion, which is a shame.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the fallout is. I think the fallout's not over.
No.
So anyways, let's go on to the next one. We've got a listener voicemail. This comes from Chris from Lansing. And let's go ahead and play that.
Hello, fat guys at the movies. It's Chris from Lansing. Well, my question is, it seems with, especially this summer, a lot of superheroes that aren't so mainstream, like Thor, Green Lantern, and Captain America's coming out, those movies have kind of started to make it big at the box office. It seems like Iron Man really opened that up as far as superheroes that aren't mainstream to become, you know, big household names and money-making franchises. Well, my question for you guys is, if you guys could see one superhero adaptation, what would it be? And who would you want to play the roles? All right, thanks a lot. Keep up the great work. See you later.
All right, Amy. Are you a comic book fan? Do you read comics?
No, I'm not a big comic person.
Okay. Do you have a sort of secondary superhero that you'd like to see have a movie made?
Yeah, you know, there is a local superhero we used to have here in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, he ran around in tights?
He ran around in a little like Liker outfit, and his name was Shadow Hair.
Wow.
And he's probably dead somewhere. Because we don't fuck around here in Cincy.
What did he protect you from?
I don't know. Probably down in Over the Rhine, which is actually kind of one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in the entire country. But I don't think he probably did that. I don't know. He probably protected old ladies from getting their purses snatched. I don't know. But how, you know, I know they did Kick-Ass, and I know they just did, what was the James Gunn movie?
Super, yeah.
Yeah, let's give Cincinnati some love and Shadow Hair.
Well, you know, here's the thing with Kick-Ass. Although I like Kick-Ass as a movie, it did just violate 100% what it said it was trying to not violate. It's like I'm going to be a real superhero, then suddenly I'm going to have basically Wolverine-like powers, and I have Hit Girl who can, you know, do all this like parkour movement. You're like, wait, that we've completely gone away from the realistic superhero about 30 minutes into the movie. Something like, did you see, oh god, Mirage Man? Did you ever see Mirage Man? I think it's a Brazilian movie. But it's one that actually has, it's a relatively realistic superhero movie.
Does he get beat the fuck down?
Yeah. Oh yeah. But it's cool. It's worth checking out. Mirage Man. It's on DVD. I think it's from Magnet.
Huh. Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think Shadowhead. What's his power? Does he have a power, or does he just have like a big fro?
I mean, I think his power is that he's a dumb enough human being to wander around and try to get involved in things he shouldn't.
Hey, you stop selling drugs over there.
Stop that. And then, you know, the criminals are like, why?
I don't know why he sounded like drunk Jack Palance from Shane.
We all sound like that down here. Oh. I'm putting on an accent right now. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you really... You really have gaps in your teeth. And
absolutely. Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. can I tell a great Cincinnati story since
you're
from Cincinnati?
Because I love my town.
I have a good friend who is an actor down in Cincinnati, and he would do Blue Jacket, which is an outdoor... You're familiar with Blue Jacket, but for the people who don't know what it is, it's an outdoor drama about the Native Americans in this area. I forget what tribe Blue Jacket was from. But he played one of the Indians in one of the Native Americans in the play, and we went down to visit him to see it because we knew him and we wanted to see him. We saw the outdoor drama, and we took my son when he was he was an infant, and it was me and my wife and my infant son, and then my friend. We all went out to go get something to eat afterwards. Well, as part of his role, he had to shave his head, and he was very, very thin, and he was also very, very tan, because not only was he outside doing this stuff all summer, but he let himself tan up so he could look a little more. You know, you don't want to have a pasty white guy doing this.
No.
So he looks a little bit crazy anyways. And he was wearing one of those fishing caps, and he had, you know what Bubba teeth are, don't you?
Real, oh, sure, yeah.
Like fake ones. You see them all the time.
Yeah.
And so he had these Bubba teeth that he put on, and he has a Jim Carrey-esque face, which is this rubber face. And he'd walk around and think, and he looked hilarious. And so we stop at this Steak and Shake in like Xenia, and we're sitting there, and the waitress comes down, everybody orders, and she gets to him, and he looks up at her with that dorky face, and his teeth is like, huh, and she turns around and walks away. And then he sort of lets the teeth, lets it fall out of his mouth. He's like, she had Bubba teeth.
Oh.
Oh, we felt so bad. And I'm like, and he just felt so bad. So we all tipped her really, really well at the end. And, you know, because, you know, I felt bad for her. And then we left. Then, like, a year later, I was down in that area, and I stopped at there for something else with somebody else. And we ordered, had the exact same waitress, and ordered, and we finished, we paid, and we left. And I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't tip her. And I'm like, so, like, cosmically, I'm just shitting all over this woman. This poor woman that's just trying to make a living in Xenia, Ohio.
Your tip was probably the last, like, few bucks she needed to get her teeth done.
Yeah, or either that, and then she probably murdered people. No, I actually turned around on the freeway, made a legal U-turn, drove back. I gave her, and it was like a 30 or 40% tip. I'm like, nice. I'm sorry I drove away. I didn't tip you. I feel bad. And she was really cool about it. But I'm like, she's going to be like, if that fucker ever comes in, my Steak and Shake again.
Now, I just want to, you know, be clear. Xenia, it's a little, you know, it's up. It's up north of Cincinnati, and it's like, you know, Kentucky comes up to the Ohio River, and then there's Cincinnati, and then Kentucky starts again. And I don't know how that happens. It's a quirk of the geography. It's like the Bermuda Triangle, and I am sorry to people from Kentucky. I'm just kidding.
Oh, anyways, now that we've alienated anybody from Kentucky or Xenia who's listening to this.
Sorry.
My favorite superhero. I've talked about superheroes of what I want to see as movies. I'd love to see Plastic Man. And I would love to see Crispin Glover play Plastic Man. I think
Crispin Glover in anything.
Crispin Glover would be awesome. He should play. I would go see, if he played Superman, I would see the fuck out of that movie.
That would be like David Lynch would have to direct that.
David Lynch is Superman starring Crispin Glover?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Would that just blow the top of your mind right off?
That could be the worst movie ever made. I'd still see it like 100 times.
Crispin Glover. Oh my lord.
Yeah. And then I've also said She-Hulk. I've always said I'd love to see a She-Hulk movie just because I want to see just a ripped, awesomely hot woman in like green makeup. And I would like to go back in time and get Lucy Lawless when she was like 23 to play She-Hulk.
This is some kind of production you're putting on here.
I would
Time machine. Creative use of where you gotta, because you know you gotta cover the boobs when the thing happens.
You do not have to cover
hulking
the boobs.
Out. No, it's gonna be one of those kind
well,
of.
Well, if if I could get a time machine and go back and get Lucy Lawless, I'd be like, she'd be fucking naked in this movie.
She's naked on Spartacus right now, and everybody's cool with it.
Hey, and but see, I mean, she looks good now, but she's like she's late 30s, early 40s. Yeah. I want to see her when she was like 25.
You need some perkier ones.
I just wanna see naked Lucy Lawless.
Like, if the giant green woman came at you, or was She-Hulk green? I'm not really sure.
Well, yeah, she's green.
She was green. And then, you know, she didn't have a shirt on. Like, there would be no villain that could continue in the face of that.
You just have her there, and I would defeat the villain. Just put her between me and the villain. I'm like, I need that.
Like, every man, like, don't touch her.
Well, here's the thing, and she would rip me apart is what would happen. Yeah.
She-Hulk.
And I would love every minute of it. It'd be like the guy who dies in Monty Python and the Meaning of Life who gets chased by the roller derby girls. It'd be just the best way to go ever. All right. Should we do a Fat Guy 5?
I don't know. What do you think?
Yes.
Show,
I say
man.
We should.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. We've got Fat Guy 5 in honor of Bad Teacher. We have the worst movie teachers. And I didn't send the list to Amy here, so bear with us while we use technology to send the list. Pling! Amazing. So ta-da. I'll take the first one since this was mine. This is the dead teacher from Teachers. Did you see Teachers?
I didn't. Tell me more.
It was filmed in Columbus, Ohio, sometime in the 80s. Starred Jo Beth Williams, and she got naked in it.
Okay.
And Nick Nolte, who I believe was taking heroin at the time. And it's a story about teachers. It's a terrible, terrible movie. But there's one teacher who was so rigid in what he did that he'd have kids come up and take the test, and he just sat behind his test desk. And in the movie, he dies, and they don't realize he's dead for like a day.
Oh, God.
So that was a bad teacher.
That is a bad teacher.
If your teacher could die and your first indication is the smell of his rotting corpse.
Yikes.
That's usually not a good sign.
I had a couple of those. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everyone has them.
That's true.
All right. You have the next one.
Oh, yeah. I was racking my brain for some bad teachers, and it occurred to me that all the Defense Against the Dark Arts teachers in Harry Potter movies are terrible. They're either A, trying to kill Harry, or they're infected with Voldemort. Or they're just awful people, and one of them was Kenneth Branagh. I don't really remember all of them.
Kenneth Branagh was just an idiot.
He was like a vain, like, bastard, right? Yeah. He was all about himself.
Well, he stole everybody else's memories, and he wiped their brains.
And there was Mad-Eye Moody, and he wasn't even himself.
Well, he was a good teacher. It's just Doctor Who is Mad-Eye Moody.
That's right.
Was a bad teacher, because he was evil.
Yes. And then the first guy had his head was part Voldemort, so
yeah, that tends
never
to,
good. That, never good.
No, it's not good. That tends to be a bad thing. you have the next one, but this is a great one, so I want to hear you talk about it. I want you to describe it to the audience for anybody who hasn't seen this.
This is going to be great. So I can't take complete credit for this. This is my lovely husband Freddie mentioned this to me. What about Ms. Mann from Scary Movie?
Yes.
And if you don't remember, you're like, Scary Movie. It's the teacher, the gym teacher, that was a man lady that had balls dripping out of her shorts.
What's impressive about that is those were some hanging old man balls. Woo! I mean, I've been to the gym where the guys, if you're over 60, you don't wear a towel, and you like put your leg up, you're like, what's up?
Oh, no.
And they're like knocking your knees.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they're hairy and veiny. You felt like you could just like grab them and pull them, and they go ding. And like, you could like hit the person behind her.
Now that's the kind of pair you want to have to smack bad people in the theater.
Yes.
You want to have Ms. Man balls.
Ms. Man hairy old man balls.
It was one of the best parts of that movie because I really hated that movie.
But they were like sticking to her leg because she was sweating. Oh, it was awesome.
I could appreciate that. I guess. That's a weird thing to say.
Well, everyone's had their gym teacher that was a little mannish.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So there you go.
We did. We had ours. I don't remember her name, but I remember she didn't like me.
Oh.
I didn't take physical education very seriously, as you can tell by my stunning physique now.
Like, who does? You know, it's gym.
The worst part was when I would miss a day of school because I just like not go to school. I'd be like, my mom was like, "Get up!" And I'd be like, "I don't want to go." And she never like, if she would have just like not called in sick and I would have caught hell at school, I would have gotten up every day.
Yeah.
But she took, she'd call it in as long as my grades didn't suffer. She was cool. The worst was when I had gym class and then I had to go make up gym.
What in the age? Oh,
it was awful. It was like they'd like make you like run laps or like one time play tennis. And I always played tennis like Tom Hanks in Bachelor Party. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Where he'd hit it, he'd like hit it as hard as he could, and he'd be like, "Oh, the crowd goes wild!" So I was constantly going into the parking lot.
I bet she really loved you mocking her chosen profession.
My Miss Man did not like me very much.
Aww. And plus, you were always dingling her balls.
I was grabbing at him. I was like a cat.
Oh, that's gross.
Anyways. The next one is Mrs. Tingle from Teaching Mrs. Tingle, played by award-winning Helen Mirren.
She's a beautiful woman.
She is beautiful. Calendar Girls, best movie ever.
I need to see that.
Did you get to see her tits?
Oh my God, really? I will have to see that.
Yeah, you totally see her tits.
I'm not immune to that. That woman is gorgeous and old.
And what's great about it is when she shows up, you don't think she's going to do it. And then kabam, you're just like, whoa. Nice. Them some old lady tits, and they look nice. Anyways.
Yes.
She was she was so sexy in red. Mrs. Tingle from Teaching Mrs. Tingle with Mrs. Tom Cruise also in the movie.
Yeah.
Or soon to be Mrs. Tom Cruise, Mrs. Tom Slave Cruise. But yeah, she was just a bad teacher. It was sort of like a Killing Mr. Griffin kind of movie.
That was a Kevin Williamson joint before Scream. He wrote that.
Yes. Did he call it a joint or did he just call it Kevin Williamson?
I hipped it up for him.
You made it sound cool.
I made it sound like less of a terrible movie, but
I think that the DGA, the Directors Guild, they need to mandate that everything be called a joint.
But you know what? Yes.
I mean, wouldn't that be great? You're like a David Fincher joint.
Yeah, right? All of that is good. I'm in.
Yes.
Not just Spike Lee. Everybody.
Yeah. Everybody. Everybody. Okay, you get this last one. I don't even believe this exists, but go ahead and knock this one out.
I can Google it, but I can't prove that I performed in it. But when I was a junior in high school, I played the part of a librarian that I couldn't even tell you what her name was now in a school play. Okay. And I had like four lines, and the play was Up the Down Staircase.
I do not believe this is a real play. This sounds like some sort of weird avant-garde.
It was experimental, and we all wore black and berets, but no, we actually didn't. Yeah. And I was the librarian, and I was the biggest cunt because, spoiler alert, the movie came out in 67. The play's been around since
time. If you haven't seen the play yet, you don't deserve to.
I can't help you if you weren't at Coleraine High School in 1997. But my big scene, like my big emotional like awakening in the play is when I get upset that a student that has committed suicide is not around to then return the book she borrowed or pay her fines. I mean, come on.
How inconsiderate can you be?
Right?
Seriously? Kids these days.
Honestly. And librarians these days, too. Yeah. But anyway. I was Mrs. Librarian. I do not remember what
her
name was.
Did she even have a name? Was she like Mrs. Cuntfeller or something like that?
It was probably Joan or Linda.
Joan.
I don't know.
I'm sure that's what it is because every librarian's named Joan.
Yeah, it's the 60s.
Wow.
Nobody knows.
Speaking
up
of
the down staircase. Yes.
Speaking of librarians, this inspired me to give an honorable mention. This isn't even a teacher, and it's not even from a movie, but it's from a Stephen King book called The Library Policeman. And it's The Library Policeman or The Library Policeman from The Library Policeman. And even though the story is about a creature that drinks fear from a child's face, this character was a man that convinced a kid in the story that he was a policeman from the library because he spelled the lisp in there. And then he takes him in the back of the woods and rapes him.
Ugh.
So...
what is it with Stephen King? Like, all you have to say is policeman, and I kind of understand who the character is already.
Yeah, you can see it written that way. You'd be like, it's okay, kid, I'm a policeman.
Ugh. Gives me the willies.
Watch out for rapey, lispy men sneaking around trying to talk to you about library books.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to write that down so I don't forget.
Just be careful. All right, on that note, we're going to take a break. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are done talking about... we actually had an interesting conversation, and I am happy to report to the people who did not get a chance to listen to this on the internet. We are back to telling dirty jokes and saying ribald things in the third segment.
It was so bawdy.
We had like 3 weeks where it was just way too intellectual and conversational and way too respectable.
I'm glad to be the one to break that streak for you.
You have brought it down to the appropriate level. Thank you so much, Amy.
You are welcome.
But now, what are we doing now? What's up next?
I do believe it's the world famous DVD Roundup.
There we go. Woohoo. I'm just going to go through these because I think both of us have something to say about most of them.
Sure.
But the DVDs and Blu-ray, a lot of these are also out on Blu-rays. The Adjustment Bureau. Did you get a chance to see that?
I have not seen it, but I think that's definitely on my radar.
It is definitely one to check out. It's based on a Philip K. Dick story. Mm-hmm. And it's a story, Matt Damon, he stars as a politician who has people sort of adjusting his fate. But it's a sweet little love story, too, with him and Emily Blunt. And it's just an incredibly well-done piece of speculative fiction. And we had a whole bunch of those come out in the spring, that and like Source Code.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely one to check out.
Cool.
There's also Unknown. Did you check that one out? Have you seen that yet?
I don't think that's my style, but tell me about it.
Oh, not into international?
Nah.
Fighting.
Nah.
Did you see Taken?
No.
Well, it's sort of along that kind of lines. Yeah. Liam Neeson's good because he kicks butt.
Isn't he in all those sorts of movies?
Well, he's in that and Taken.
Yeah, they're the same movie, right?
No, they're sort of the same. They have different, but he goes to Berlin, gets in a car crash, has amnesia, and somebody's trying to steal his identity. Also has January Jones, who is the dumbest person. She is the photo negative of Megan Fox.
I can't even.
She is so awful.
I can't with her. I won't. I can't.
Oh, it's so terrible. And you know what's funny is I realized it's not that she's a bad actor. True, mm-hmm. she is. But just talking in like the behind the scenes interviews, like I got out Lost. Like I've seen the Lost DVDs, mm-hmm. and you know Michelle Rodriguez is not a great actor. And she always delivers her stuff very flat, yeah. is how she delivers it. But you see her interviews, and she's bubbly, and she's happy, and she's peppy. And it's just like, oh, she just doesn't deliver the lines, or she always tries to act too tough. But she's actually a very engaging person in these interviews. Janet Jones is exactly the same, just blah, 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 blah. So,
yeah,
she is not the reason to see Unknown.
Oh.
There's also a Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, that has a great cover.
It's just, it is like, it is Ed Helms.
It is like 40-year-old virgin, that kind of great cover.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun little movie. Definitely worth checking out. It's one of the better sort of awkward, weird situational comedies I've seen in a while for sort of that very limited independent-y kind of angle.
Yeah.
There's also Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules. You haven't seen the first one, have you?
No, but I think that's something I will definitely correct soon. I think those look like a lot of fun. I hear good things.
They're clever and they're cute and they're relatively good to the books. And what's funny is I've seen both of them. I had to go to the theater to see both of them. Last year I did a double feature. I saw a screening of How to Train Your Dragon and then I took my kids to see that. And then this year, when Roderick Rules came out, we went to a local theater, and it happened to be, like, on a Friday. And it was, I don't know what, I forget when it came out, but everyone had school off that day. And it was an insanely packed theater with, like, kids.
Were they just running down the aisles, going nuts?
You know, what's funny is they were relatively well-behaved for the kind of film it was.
Well, I am so proud of the parents of Columbus.
Yeah, well, not all of them, trust me. Okay. No. There's also The Eagle, which has Channing Tatum. That should be enough to make you not want to see it.
Sure.
But he plays a Roman soldier who travels north of occupied Britain's sort of like the netherworld, and then they have to go into sort of like the Dark Ages version of the Gangland, where all the Celtic tribes are wanting to kill them because he's trying to get a war artifact.
Sign me up.
It's okay.
Yeah.
They have an unrated version out on Blu-ray. And then Louis season one. Are you a big fan of Louis C.K.?
Loved it. Loved this entire season. This is great. Can't wait till it's back.
It's a neat show. And it's coming back. It's coming back, I think, like next week.
Next week,
actually.
Yep. I think it's the 29th.
And it's like started. The first episode is, I think, pregnant, which is great.
Nice.
But yeah, I liked it. It gets sometimes, some of them get a little bit too dark and serious, where it's like he sort of abandons comedy for non-comedy.
Yeah, like the God episode. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, the God episode I thought was still bizarrely funny, but I'm like the bully episode.
Oh yeah, where he follows the kid. Oh my god.
Yeah, and I'm just like, wait, this isn't funny anymore. This is just disturbing.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's, you know, kind of the brilliance of it.
That's him.
And that's what The Office is missing. I know I keep harping on The Office.
Oh,
jeez.
Man, you are mean.
Why?
Give us your pick.
You know, I'd say everything you just mentioned sounds great. The Eagle especially. Just kidding. Mega Python versus Gatoroids coming out on Blu-ray, yes. Man.
Why would you not buy this on Blu-ray?
Debbie Gibson. Tiffany.
And?
I mean, it is chock full of stupidity. I honestly can't wait because I missed it the first time around. So
it's terrible. I actually saw a screener discover it with temp effects, which if you think the real effects are bad, temp effects are even worse. We got about 30 seconds left. The stinker I'm picking is The Island on Blu-ray because it's like, geez, one of the worst Michael Bay movies and so stupid. Sorry if you liked it. Review wrap up. I said Bad Teacher kind of sucks. Cars 2 rocks. Next week I got Transformers 3 and Horrible Bosses. Amy,
yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank
Quickly
you.
Tell people where they can get you.
They can find me at notlp.com. That's Night of the Living Podcast. We're in iTunes and you can find us on Twitter too, notlp.
Yay!
Woo!
Thank you again for doing it. Thank it was you. A lot of fun. Thank Check you. Us out at Fat Guys at the Movies if you haven't yet. And we will hope to have Amy or Freddie or some of the other people from Night of Living Podcast on in the future.
Yeah, cool.
Bye.
Bye.